start. If we're a year old or 2 years old, when we cooperate with God, He gives us reasons to believe it's true. And if you do not cooperate with Him, it gets further and further. You will neither be unfruitful nor barren if these things be in you. But if you lack these things, the Bible says, you will become short-sighted, even unto blindness, forgetting you were washed from your sins. So some of us may be here forgetting. We haven't heard God speak. We haven't seen God's affirmation. We haven't interacted with God. The Bible says of Jesus, before He was ready to be taken from them in His crucifixion, He told the disciples, if any of you loves me, he will keep my word. He will guard it. He will protect it. He will put His mind around it. Just like Paul said, I delight in the law. Just like Paul says, I delight in it. I desire to do it. I'm keeping it. He says, I don't find how to carry it out, but man, I delight in it. I defend it. I keep it. But I don't execute it always perfectly. Jesus told them, if you will love me, you will keep my word, and my Father will love you, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's pretty cool. That means he's going to be there. And when you meditate on what his name means, Jehovah, it's the word, I am who I am. Literally, it means the existing one. I am there and I'm present and I'm with you. I am watching you all the time. There's never a time when he doesn't see you. The Bible talks about not a sparrow falls to the ground and dies, but that he knows it altogether. And he knows where you are. He sees every action, every thought of yours. He understands, and sees and knows. It says over in John chapter 5, verse 19, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, the Father doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. That's what we're supposed to be doing. What's God doing? We interact because we're supposed to follow in his steps. John 16:16 says, a little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. Bible says in John 14:22, he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and, listen, manifest myself to him. God wants you to see his handiwork in the day-to-day. He wants you to. He wants us to interact with it. He wants us to see what he's doing. He wants us to get to the point where not only does he show up like in that Iraq situation, where one day later it's like, wow, we would have been there. But he also wants you to begin to anticipate where he's going to be. Which is what Jesus did. He says, I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing. You see, this is an exciting adventure down here. We live in a grand world where God is not absent and he's not silent. The problem is, we just have things in our ears. We're not listening. And so the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in our lives is minimal. People died for their faith. I've got a picture on my phone of the Colosseum in Rome where people said, take me! For most of us, we'd say, take them. Because we're so far removed from the kind of intense conviction that comes from interacting with God every single day. He says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he says that we may be glorified together. And then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glories which shall be revealed within us. And the whole concept that he's trying to drive home to our hearts is mortification of the flesh is a suffering. The Bible talks to preachers in the 1 Timothy. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he tells them to, I think it's 2 Timothy actually, he says, endure hardness, Timothy. And the word is kakapathia, pathos. You know, that emotional, evil, emotional evil. You know, the devil, he hounds and hounds and hounds and hounds the pastor as well as the people. But the pastors are kind of up front. If they fall, then everybody else kind of gets hit too. You know, so he says, you got to endure hardness. I was thinking about this today. You know, a lot in the news right now about Mel Gibson, you know, he did the Passion of the Christ with a distinctively Catholic bent. Have you noticed that ever since he did that, his life has been going down, down, down? And you know what that is? That reminds me of the sons of Sceva who said, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. And they got ran out of town, naked and running for their lives because that guy leaped all over them saying, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And old Mr. Mel Gibson put himself out there and I think he's going to pay a price because he doesn't have the Jesus of the Bible. And what I want you to see here is he's telling us in no uncertain terms that the Holy Spirit bears witness. He manifests Himself. When He shows up, He speaks of me, we saw earlier in our study. Everything He does is glorifies Jesus. And there are churches today that want to be all about the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, you got the Spirit yet? You got the Spirit yet? It's all about the Spirit. No, I got Jesus. And they're a package deal. And the bottom line is, He's the Holy Spirit who's sealed to us. And the Bible says in verse 18 that those sufferings are not worthy to be compared. The suffering of walking through life with a dead body strapped to our back. Remember, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? That's how an executed prisoner died. A body of death. A dead body was strapped to his back, and the corruption of that body would literally drive the person who carried that body around insane. And they would eventually be throwing themselves against stones and trying to kill themselves because this corrupting body. If you've ever walked up on the side of a hot day or a road on a hot day where there's a dead deer or some little animal, the whole area stinks. This is what it's like to be a believer with this old life behind us. We know that's not it. It's there. And the whole point of this section is we have a future. He says, we have a future. We're heirs. We're joint heirs. We have a family. We're free. We have focus. But we have a future. And the future is that we're going to be joint heirs with Christ. We're going to be glorified with Him. And the Bible says in verse 19, for the expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, one day the whole creation is going to rejoice. It's going to break forth. And He deals with the creation in a few verses here. Verse 20 says, for the creation was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected it in hope. And what He's saying is that all of creation is subject to vanity, meaning it is arranged under nothing. It was never meant to be like it is, gang. Creation you see out there was meant to be under the dominion of men. We are supposed to, as humans, be the ones who have dominion on the earth, and one day we will again. But right now, it's got no dominion. You know, we had this a bird in our backyard who lost its nest through that blow fest we had here a few weeks ago. And this bird's out there on our fence, and he's just whining. She's just crying for her three little birdies that died. Craig and Linda had to go clean them up because there's three little dead birds out there. You see that stuff. You're mowing. Oh, there's a bird. No more. That's what a guy does. But a girl, it's like, Craig, come on out here. You got to get this thing up. I believe in dominion, amen? But the point is, it was never meant for those birds to kind of navigate alone. They were at our beck and call. You said, Dr. Doolittle thing, rain on that. All of us would have dominion. The lion would come. The bear would come. Man, every animal, all the dinosaurs would come. We'd ride the pterodactyls. We'd soar with the eagles. Man, we'd have it going on. That was what it was meant to be. But now we live under the law of tooth and claw because creation is under a curse and it's subject to no one. And there's a madness about animals that makes them want to kill each other and eat each other. And it was never meant to be. When I was a kid, we used to watch Wild Kingdom on Sunday nights. I don't know why they'd put that on Sundays. Man, this poor little antelope just out there looking all pretty and nice, big old, nice looking, elegant. And suddenly this lion comes lurking up like, who can I eat? Never meant to be like that. You say, play with a kitten. You say, play with the puppies. The puppies all playing. It's cute. It's fun. And they were meant to be like that forever. The Bible says in verse 20 that the creation was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. But it waits for, in verse 19, the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creation itself is itself also shall be delivered one day. They want to see us get in our zone because they'll be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's what sinners go through, the bondage of corruption. They're bound by it, and the world in which we live is bound by the bondage of corruption. Not only does it say bondage of corruption, and it's supposed to bring forth itself into the glorious liberty of the children of God, but it says, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Now, for those of you in our church, and there are several, who've had babies in recent years, that travail word is kind of like animated, no matter where you read travail. I know what that is. I know what that is. And a lot of the guys are like, oh, ain't nothing. Until they see their wives put their hands on their arms and put their fingernails into their flesh. It hurts! But the point is, the creation travails. And I want you to get an image in your mind so you can appreciate the seasons, you know. You ever look at the seasons? We're going down in our walk in our back of our house. There's this little bike trail that goes over to the campus. We go for this little walk. Certain parts of the year, no leaves at all. Man, you can see way through. See deer out there? Beautiful. Other parts of the year, you can't see anything right past the hedge because there's leaves everywhere. And it occurred to me that the seasons are really not something that were once in existence, you know. Mastodons used to eat up in the North Pole area, Siberia. It's all ice now. And they've got mastodons in the ice with vegetation in their mouths because of the cataclysmic flood that God brought on the earth. They were frozen standing up with vegetation in their mouths. It's huge stuff. But what I'm getting at is that the seasons weren't always here. That's new. That came after the flood. And it's as if God is saying, it's dying, it's dying, it's dying. And then in His mercy, He pulls back and lets it all come back to life again. And that's kind of like labor, isn't it? Like travail. It comes in, and it's like, oh, here it is. Oh, no. Oh. And that's what your seasons are like. The earth is not supposed to be in a state of constant upheaval. It was a perfect world, and it will be restored in the millennial kingdom. He says in verse 22, "For we know that the creation groans and travails in pain together until now." And then in verse 23, he talks about the creation, but in verse 23, he talks about us. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. By the way, first fruits, just a handful. Okay, just a little bit compared to all of it. You may find it very difficult to really interact with the Spirit sometime because you only got a dose, a little dose, you know. You can try to be more and more filled by being more and more available to God. The Bible says be being filled because you need to constantly being filled because you leak. You're like a leaky cup, you know. And you get a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and the next day it's like, okay, boy, do I feel wooden today. You leak. You need to constantly be being filled. That means you got to constantly make up your mind. You're going to walk, what? Upon the Spirit. On the basis of the law of God, the law of the Spirit, the law of life in Christ Jesus. You're going to make up your mind. This is my spot. I'm cutting it out. This is where I stand. He says in verse 23, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we groan within ourselves. And all those who are over 35, 40 years old say, amen, I groan all the time. Better get up on a chair. Why didn't they put a refrigerator right next to the easy chair? Can I get a witness? Amen. We don't want to groan. Not only that, but we groan waiting for the adoption. That is the redemption of our body. You see, he says he's going to quicken our mortal bodies, but they're not fully set free yet, are they? Because you can still do the wrong thing, make the wrong choices, go the wrong way. He says in verse 24, he says, "For we are saved by hope." Now, this is a very important verse right here, because this verse right here is central to this section. It's really not we're saved by hope, because it's not an instrumental. In fact, literally, this should read, "For this hope we are saved." God wants God's people to live with a solid disposition of hope. We don't hope for Him anymore. We don't hope for heaven anymore. We got it pretty good. If it's hot, we turn on the AC. If it's cold, we turn on the heat. You know? If we need something, we run to the store and get it. There's not a lot of trauma like it was chronic back in the day, you know. Most of the centuries prior to the 1900s, everybody had pretty much a really kind of cyclical thing. Their existence was pretty harsh. So we have let our hope go over here. But the Bible says for this hope, we're saved. What hope? Well, he talked about it, remember? The overall book is one thought that Paul just kind of just, it just is amazing. He just runs through. It's just perfect. Because he's moved by the Holy Spirit and carried along. And he says in chapter 5, we glory in tribulations. Because tribulations, that's suffering by the way, tribulation works patience. And patience works experience or proof, right? Tangible proof that we're His children. Because we're standing on the ground. Tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience works hope. And it said, as you recall, this hope makes us unashamed. There's a lot of behaviors that if we would just put a big screen up here and flash across the screen things you and I have engaged in our lives, we'd be ashamed of. But he says, this hope makes unashamed. You start taking your stand with God, and you will never be led to be ashamed. Why? Because he's going to witness to you that you're his child.
He's going to bear witness to that. He's going to manifest himself to you. He's going to make his home with you. And you're going to see him in the day to day. He says, I go a little while and you won't see me, but in a little while you will see me because I'm going to show up in your life. And so when you look at that verse where he says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope, or for this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Well, what a man sees, why did he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. God wants you to live in a